Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. In this reading, the prophet pleads with God to do something big, as in days of old. Because God has withdrawn, the people have sinned. It is time for a reunion, however frightening that may be. Oh, that you tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble in your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy rag. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. And the second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. In this reading, Jesus offers his disciples a preview of the end of time, followed by a parable designed to give them insomnia. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth and from the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gate. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day and the hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will return. Will he come in the evening, or at night, or at cockcrow, or at dawn? Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. We continue our worship in singing the hymn Spirit of God, which we will sing to the tune of Sky Boat Song.
Let me tell you about Barney. Barney got in touch with me. He actually rang a friend at the church here because he had come across my name on the web somehow and knew I was associated with this church. So he rang to find how he could get in touch. And eventually I got the phone call. Now, I couldn't really remember Barney. And he said, "No, this is Barney. We were in grade four together." And somehow I'd missed a few years since grade four. But Barney and I caught up a week ago and had coffee together and caught up on what had happened in those few years since grade four. Barney went into law and made a career of law, and then he joined a firm which restructured, and Barney's job was downgraded. He then received less income, and it put him in a real pickle. He had a mortgage, and that consumed so much of his finance that he was in real trouble. And because that consumed his thoughts, his marriage suffered. And so for 25 years, he's been on his own. He's got children and grandchildren, but his life has been somewhat very different from mine. It was good to catch up with Barney, and I remembered I had just one photo of my primary school days, and it was this one of grade four. Well, there's Barney in the front row. I'm in the back row. We're in grade four, we're wearing collar and tie. There are 35 children in the class with one teacher. And then I wondered, what happened to all the others? A snapshot. We used to call them snapshots. We went down to the chemist to get our film developed and we went to pick up our snaps. And I began to think, in the scriptures, we have snapshots. There's that snapshot from Isaiah. And it opens up with Isaiah and his community calling out in desperation, "Oh God, open up the heavens and come down. We're in trouble. We've returned from exile. We're desperate. There's no jobs, no community. We're in desperate need of your intervention." Isaiah's an old man. The same Isaiah who in chapter 6 receives the call to be a prophet. He's in the temple. There's light. There's angels, there's cherubim and seraphim. And he feels the call as a young man. He says, "But I'm a man of unclean lips." And the cherubim come with a coal and touch his lips so that he becomes a man of clean lips. A wonderful experience of the intimacy he had with God, the closeness of God. And now, as an old man, he feels that God has abandoned them and they're in desperate need. So he calls out, as the community calls out, "Come down, show yourself, make the nation sit up and take notice." Is that the God that we look to? Well, Jeremiah certainly did. Remember that story in Jeremiah? The big contest between the prophets of God and the prophets of Baal. They set up a contest. There's the altar. They put the bull on the altar and they want the God who is the real God, the powerful God, to come and consume the bull, the offering, with fire. And they call out to their God. And the prophets of the God Baal are calling out And the prophets of God are taunting them and saying, "Yeah, what's happened? Has your God gone to sleep? Has he gone to the toilet? You know, what's going?" Nothing. And then, of course, the fire comes, and then the prophet Jeremiah goes on and talks about, does God come in the fire or the earthquake? It comes in the still, small voice. So this snapshot in Isaiah is about desperation and calling out for help. The time for the quiet, gentle prayer, God, please come to us in the quietness of our hearts. That time is over. It's a desperate people calling to their God. And then we turn to another little snapshot in the Gospel according to Mark. Now, Mark starts off with no angels, no babe in a manger, no shepherds, no heavenly choirs, no wise men. But be alert. Watch out for the kingdom coming in your midst. Now, you know, Mark was written around about 65 AD, which of course was a desperate time. Time of persecution. The church was under increased threat from Rome. There were rumours that the Christians met and they had what they called the Agape Feast, which the rumour was they sacrificed a baby and ate the flesh of that baby cannibalistically. And so there was great pressure on the early church. And in desperation, they are looking for salvation. And the way of Jesus was to stay awake, keep alert, watch. You don't know when it's coming. Now, if you go through the stories about Jesus and the stories he told according to the church, we find that he used every opportunity to show the kingdom coming. For example, the little boy with his lunch, sharing, bringing a group of people who were desperately hungry to a point where they were satisfied. The woman who came and dared to wipe his feet with perfume. A woman of the street, a prostitute. How dare he let that woman touch? And yet, that was the kingdom at work, the acceptance of those who were unacceptable. The lilies of the field, how they toil not, they neither spin. And yet, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. The kingdom of beauty and joy. So Barney's phone call to me and his life, actually it was a sad life, but as we shared over coffee, there was some memories that we could share together. He actually had been to Russia a few times, and he told me a story of he'd been to Russia, and in Moscow he'd got an apartment for $30 a night, so it wasn't all that flash. And he said, there was a dripping tap at the sink, and he thought he better not use that, so he used the bathroom tap. But he forgot one day, and he turned on that tap in the kitchen, and it suddenly burst, and water was pouring out everywhere, and it started to fill up the sink. And so he desperately got a container and got the water out of the sink there and rushed into the bathroom. And he thought, I can't keep this up all night. I better get help. So he went to the next door apartment, knocked on the door, and a very elderly Moscovite came out and he said, I want some help. And he realized he was shouting and she was frightened and she shut the door. So he went back and he wondered what he could do. And he knew he was being picked up the next day. So he phoned the person who was going to pick him up. There was no answer. Then he realised that they would only speak German or Russian, so that wouldn't have been any good anyway. So he found that he had a phrase book, and he worked out how he could say, help, my tap is broken, I need help. And he worked that out, went next door, knocked on the door. The lady came out, looked very frightened, but he said the words in Russian, and she said, ah. So she came in, went in to the toilet, and there was a little cupboard. She opened the cupboard, and there was a tap which she turned off. And he said that was his salvation. Barney had a sad life, but he made the most of it. A little snapshot of someone out of my past. A snapshot of Isaiah. Desperate people in desperate times, calling for God to intervene. And the Gospel of Mark, with that little snapshot, calling out for God to intervene, but God intervenes, as it were, in these stories. So keep a lookout for when that might happen, when hope might come. It doesn't come in the form of new and better intelligence, bigger and better armies or nuclear weapons. It comes in a baby born in a cow shed. Keep awake. Stay alert. Take notice. In Dublin, there is the great St. Patrick's Cathedral. It's actually Church of England, not Catholic. But there's a marvellous stained glass window. And it's a memorial to a woman who had been a great worker in caring for others in that cathedral. And so it is the depicting Jesus with the woman at the well. And they've got the text, whoever comes to me need never thirst, I will give them a drink. And that stained glass window is donated by the Guinness family, the Guinness who make the beverage. There's some little twist of humour there for me. But that stained glass window is made up of bits of broken glass, and they've been brought together to form something of beauty and of togetherness. And in a way, I see this snapshot of what Jesus was about in his earthly life, of bringing together our brokenness that we might be one and a thing of beauty. Let us sing now.